rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day. I am reading.
You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it'll be read on the air. Or you can be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you've come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are thrilled, we are inspired to be with you today, and hope, as always, the things that we say will be beneficial to you as you continue your journey as a Bible student. We are so excited today as we have the privilege and honor to look into God's Word to find the answers that to the questions that may be in your heart. This is, again, a live radio broadcast. If you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, we encourage you to go ahead and call right now. The number to call is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. Today we want to talk a little bit about resolutions. I know we began this discussion last week or a week prior, and oftentimes during the New Year's, we began, as a whole, planning, what are we going to do better? What are we going to do more? When we think about the state of the home today, we can look at many people's home, and there are troubles in the home, things like financial trouble, things like marital problems, things like unruly children, things like those in having a mindset that they're going to live life to the fullest, and so they disregard their responsibility. All these things impact our home. We have to ask ourselves a question, why do we allow our lives to get in such a shape? And so what we try to do is we resolve the next year. We always say, next year I'm going to resolve to do better. I might resolve to fix my marriage. I might resolve to fix my financial situation. I might resolve to make that unruly child listen to me. These things may be good resolutions, but perhaps we should be focusing our attention on things that are more spiritually.
Yes, we are indeed. This is a live broadcast, and we have lines available right now for you to call in your Bible questions. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart and on your mind, and we'll be glad to look into the Bible for that answer. Now, as you call, there's two ways that you can ask your question. One, it can be written down and brought into us, or two, you can go live on the air. It is your choice. Either way, we will do our best to look to the Bible for the answer to the question that's on your heart. 308-9564 is the number. The lines are now available. As we think about this coming year, whether it is a year that we're thinking of or a week, it is something that we should plan for. But this planning often, many times, has just a very limited focus that people are focused upon. For example, probably the most prominent among those that we might commit would be, for example, I want to lose weight in 2009. Well, that could be a very good goal and something that we should try to obtain. Maybe your goal would be along the line of money success or taking care of things or job success or some other physical thing of this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we have Paul thinking about the future when he says about what he was planning for. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain. For everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. For they do not obtain, or they do it to obtain a perishable crown. For we, but we, an imperishable crown. Therefore I thus run, not as uncertainty, and so fight I, want not as one that beats air, but I discipline my body to bring it into subjection, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. What's interesting about his comments there is that he, his goal, his race, his crown that he was looking for, his, if you will, resolution, had to do with the eternal process, not just the carnal, the physical, the temporary things of this life. And so we also should have that as far as something we are looking to achieve this year. It is not something that we're trying to just physically things that we can achieve, but rather the eternal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "For we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal." And so instead of looking in the mirror, instead of looking in our checking account, bank account, instead of looking at the temporary things of this life, why not look a little further than that? That is, beyond this life. And yet, as far as this connects with our home, those eternal things are very important. We can fix things temporarily, or we can fix things eternally. And so today we want us to think and consider what eternal things need to be focused upon if we're to have the kind of home and family that the Creator of home and family designed for it to have. What we have to do is find the answers in God's Word, and to that we are committed today as we let the Bible speak. And so we do want you to know that you can interrupt our discussion at any time by calling in your question. Again, that number here is 308-9564, and you can go ahead and call even as we take this first break, and we'll be glad to take your question. It can be written down and brought into us, or you can be the first one online with us live as we let the Bible speak. But we're going to go ahead and give you this opportunity to make this phone call even as we're at break. The number again, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. Please take a moment to write this number down, 308-9564. You can call 843-308-9564 during the program to ask your questions live on the air, or have someone read it on the air for you, and we'll answer it. Call now before the lines fill up. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
Today we've been talking about, again, the family and how that we should be resolving to make our homes the way God intended. And so we must resolve this idea of resolution. You might note that the root word there is the idea of resolve. I should make up my mind that this is what I'm going to do this year. And oftentimes we think about resolutions, we think of it in the term of, this is what I'm going to do this year. So I'm planning that I'm going to see tomorrow. We want to encourage you today that you look at life the way God wants us to look at life, and that maybe there is no tomorrow, and that you must resolve to do what you're going to do today. In fact, I want to encourage you to look at Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34. Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34. Before I read that passage, just want to remind our listeners that you can call in right now if you have a question that's on your heart, and we're more than happy to go to God's Word for the answer. The number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 and 34, you have Jesus talking to his disciples, and Jesus tells them that they should be seeking something first, and what they should be seeking is God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, verse 34 is key. He tells them, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And so, yes, we should be planning, absolutely planning for tomorrow, but don't resolve to fix your problems tomorrow. Resolve to fix your problems today. If you have home problems, then you need to resolve to let God fix them, and then let God fix them through, again, His inspired word, that you're going to change your heart. You're going to change your mind. You're going to change the way you think, because, again, tomorrow is not promised to you and I. James brings that out in James chapter 4 and verse 13. James 4, picking up in verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. But what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we should live and do this or that." The idea, if the Lord's will, we should live and be able to do the things that we're trying to do. But notice what he says, our lives is like a vapor, it disappears. And so we have today, we have the here and now. Have you taken time to try to make your home built by God's pattern? Are you husbands are out there? Are you loving your wife like Jesus loved the church? Are you being a father that will bring up your children according to God's pattern? Mothers, are you loving your children? And are you teaching other mothers to love their children? Are you trying to take care of your home and manage your home? These are the things that God talks about as we think about building the home. Our minds should be set. We should resolve to get our house in order.
And if our house is not in order according to God's pattern, then things are surely to fall apart. Just as sure if we try to build a house out of sand alone, then just like a sandcastle that you may have seen at James Park or out on the beach somewhere, it's soon going to collapse with the passing of time. And the Lord would have us to build our house out of good material, truly the material that only He can supply from God's Word. At the foundation of every home, there should be love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about this kind of love. And if we neglect this, you might say, oh yeah, I love my woman, I love my man. But do you love him or her this way? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with the verse 4, says, "Love suffers long," or is patient. So are we patient with our mate? Are we patient with our children? Are we patient with one another? And then it says it is kind. Would you honestly say that you're kind to your mate all the time or just some of the time? Would they perceive us as being kind? It goes on to say, love does not envy. Men, have you ever envied your wife's role or things that she does? And women, have you ever envied your husband's role and things that he does or doesn't do? Well, then we are not loving. Matter of fact, if we fail at any of these, then the truth of the matter is we do not love as God wants us to love. It goes on to say, love does not parade itself. The idea of showing yourself better than the other. Have you ever heard any of those stories about maybe the old woman at home, or my old man at home, or the old battle axe, or the old, you know, there's all kind of funnies that truly are not funny, that they're just tragic because they tear down the relationship that God would have a husband and wife to have. And as far as our children, do we respect our children, or do we parade ourselves over them? Why do you want them to do this? Because I told you so. Well, love also shows enough respect to them to give them information that will help them to also develop a wisdom that will come from above. Love does not parade itself, and it is not puffed up. The idea of arrogant, or even from the standpoint of pouting, how many times is this displayed on TV sitcoms? And the way it is done, there's manipulation behind the scenes trying, well, if I do this, then they're going to do this in response. Therefore, I'll get my way if they respond that way. And thus, all of this playing of games and manipulation is absolutely unloving. That is not the kind of love that God would have us to have flourish in our home. So, my friend, do you really love your mate as God says love? Do you really love your children as God says love? We're going to take a break and come on back to this passage in just a little bit and give more information. But we do want you to know that this program is Let the Bible Speak. And so we're trying to let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your heart so that you may be able to hear, thus says the Lord, not thus man or thus the church or the pastor or anything like that. We want you to hear what God has to say, and thus you can call in your question right now. The lines are available. Both lines are available right now at 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. 308-9564. Please go ahead and call, do it while we're at break, and we'll be glad to start with your question right after this break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor His disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day. 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we're back live again, and we do want you to know that this is Let the Bible Speak, and this is a live broadcast right now where you can call and ask your question, either have it written down and brought into us, or we will take your question live over the air. It is your choice. 308-9564 is the number, and the lines are available right now. We've been talking about how that we should be having more of a focus in this year on spiritual things, rather than just carnal things. Yes, it's okay to set those temporary carnal resolutions, but the greater success will come when we think eternal, the spiritual side. And we're focused upon the home and how that the home is in such bad shape across the land to where children are disrespectful, husbands and wives are disrespectful for each other. The homes are just more of a pit stop for people to eat and sleep in and really get out of just as quick as possible. And that's not the kind of home that God has planned for those who follow His Word. We've looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on this kind of love. And we've just looked at verse 4. Now verse 5 goes on to say, if we have this kind of love, it does not behave rudely. Well, would you say you're a rude person? Well, you probably say, well, no, I'm not rude. I'm normal. That's just the way the world is. Well, what we need to do is find out what our person that we're trying to love considers rude and ask them and find out, well, how would a person of manners behave before them? What do they perceive as rude? And thus, we should involve ourselves in what they think and what they feel about that, and in order to love them like they would want to be loved. So love doesn't behave rudely, not in the eyes of our mate, nor in the eyes of the world. We should behave in such a way to where that it is being perceived like love. The next characteristic in verse 5 says it does not seek its own. Oh, my, now we're going to meddling, someone might say. For example, who is it that has the charge of the remote control when you're watching TV? Who is it that has to have their own way as far as where to eat or what to eat or what kind of diet or what kind of entertainment or what kind of, we could go on and on with that, couldn't we? What kind of ways do we have to have our own way?
Yeah. When we think about this idea of love does not seek its own, we have to think about our spouse. You know, think about our husbands. Think about our wives. You know, so in that type of relationship, I'm not going to be seeking my own. If I love my spouse, I'm going to be looking out for them. And I know sometimes you guys, you listen to the radio program and you say, well, how do I apply this? Well, let me give you an example of where you where on one occasion someone did not seek the best interest of their spouse. But before we go to that passage, I believe we have a question.
Yeah, it fits right on into this. We have Denise calling this afternoon. And again, the number, the lines are now available, is 308-9564. You can go ahead and call in your question, just like Denise has done, 308-9564. Denise, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening this afternoon. It's a real good question. She asked this question, how do I motivate my husband without being pushy? And how do I motivate him spiritually? Well, those are two really good questions, and they fit right into what we're talking about today, and thank you so much for calling it in. Did you happen to notice here in this passage that it says that love, if love is going to be the kind of love that God wants, then we must not seek our own way. They have to learn to love God's way as well. When my kids were young and they were dating, one thing that we told them over and over again says, son, daughter, don't go out and find people that need to be fixed. If you're going to date somebody, find somebody that doesn't need fixing. And sometimes when people get married, they get in the idea, well, I can fix them after we get married. And that's just not the case. And if they need fixing, then the best thing for you to do is to not say, I do. And that's the way that you should enter the marriage. You accept them the way they are. And the only way that somebody can change today is to let God change them. Did you hear me? Let me repeat that. The only way that there can be good, true, permanent change would be for God himself to change somebody. And the only way that he changes people is when they look into his word and this powerful message, the Holy Spirit's power being displayed through it, changing someone from the inside out. So, Denise, your question, how do I motivate my husband? Well, the truth is you can't. You cannot motivate him. The only way that he can be motivated would be for God himself to be motivating him. And now that brings up another point. Your point, second thing there is, how can I motivate him spiritually? Well, I would direct you to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I believe that's exactly what you have there, isn't it, Nick? Go ahead. 1 Peter chapter 3, and Nick's going to share that with you.
1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll start in verse 1, and it basically talks about the conduct of the wives. The Bible says, based upon your conduct, that you can influence your husband spiritually. Again, it's going to be on his part, as Vicky brought out earlier. You know, he has to change his heart. But you can be an example to him. In 1 Peter chapter 3, picking up verse 1, the Bible says, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. And so as you mentioned in your question, you don't want to beat them down a little bit there. That's not necessary. But by your example, you can lead a very godly life, a God-fearing life. He can see how you live, and that can motivate him spiritually. In verse 2, the Bible says, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And so you have to be that kind of person, a person who is right with God first. So first you have to get yourself right, and you want to be the kind of woman that God wants you to be. So again, you're not going to be jumping on his back and beating him down. That probably won't help. But if you would show your dedication, your commitment to God, by way of example, the Bible shows how that could influence the husband that does not believe. I sure hope this helped. I don't know, Ricky, do you have something else to add?
Yes, I think that was just perfect. And I hope, Denise, you take that to heart, because there is the pattern that God would have us to follow. And so if you learn to love, just as 1 Corinthians 13 says, and you might say right now, well, I do that. Well, I hope so, but I've been working at it for 35 years, and I'm still a dismal failure as far as all of these things that are elaborated in this passage. This is the hallmark foundation of the kind of love that God wants us to have. Got to be patient, kind, not envious, not parade ourselves or being boastful or even proud or puffed up. We've got to behave with manners, not rudely. And it goes on to say it does not seek his own way. And so we cannot seek our own way if we're going to love as God wants us to love. So when it comes down to how to apply this, that only God can change someone. And then the promise there, 1 Peter 3, without even a single word, you will be able to win the heart of your husband spiritually, and that will win him over if you just learn to love, as this passage says. The number here, 308-9564, is you can call right now as we let the Bible speak to you. The question that is on your heart, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. 308-9564.
And before we went to that question, I was going to talk about a passage and give you an example of where you had someone who did not look out for the best interests of their spouse from a spiritual standpoint. And that's what we want, ladies and gentlemen. You want to resolve to look out for the best interests of your spouse this year, but not just this year, today. You start today. Now, how can I look out for the best interests of my spouse? Well, here's an example where it didn't happen. In Acts the 5th chapter, in Acts chapter 5, we learn about a man and wife, a man by the name of Ananias, and his wife's name is Sapphira. The Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They had some land, and they sold it. And he, the Bible says, kept back part of the proceeds. Notice, you know, I've read this passage for years, but I never picked up that the Bible specifies that it was he who kept back part of the proceeds. Now, his wife, the Bible says, also being aware of it, his wife knew about it, but it was he who kept back part of the proceeds. You see, when he did that, at that point, he was no longer looking out for the best interests of his wife. You know, yeah, absolutely. You know, he disregarded what God says for himself. And yeah, you know, we make those decisions for ourselves. But we should never let our sins affect someone else. But that's the nature of sin. Sin always affects others. And in a marital relationship, husband and wives out there, you need to be aware of that, that your sin will affect your spouse. Now, he kept back part of the money, the Bible says, his wife also being aware of it, and they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to God. You have lied to men. And so God says, you have not lied to men, you have lied to God. And so in his particular case, he had lied to God by keeping this thing, keeping this money back. His heart was not right. Again, he did not just impact himself, but he impacted his wife.
That's right. And when we choose to do something that is not right in God's sight, then we will impact not just our mate, but people even around us. And so even when the Bible tells us to obey, for example, for children to obey, it's always with the contingency of in the Lord. Obey in the Lord, and wives submit in the Lord. And so we cannot follow even those that we're supposed to submit into sin. We can't follow our employer into sin. We cannot follow our boss, our government, into sin. We must obey God rather than man if we are going to be pleasing to him. And so we've got to always be mindful of that. Even in the home, there is God is to be the center of each of our lives, whether we're in our home environment or work environment. God has got to be at the focal point. And so we're going to go ahead and take a break right now and let you know that the lines are available right now. And you can call in your question. But we do want you to know that we offer a correspondence course that you can study through the mail free of charge. And matter of fact, We even offer Bible studies in people's homes in the Goose Creek and the East Somerville area and the North Charleston. We will be glad to make arrangements so that we might be able to come and have even a Bible, personal Bible study there in your home where we can let the Bible speak. If you would like to get a group together for something like that, you can also call this number, 553-5157, and make those arrangements. And we will be glad to have a personal study there, a devotion, a study of God's Word right there in your home at 553-5157. Matter of fact, here are the details. And while we're at break, if you want to go ahead and call in your question here to the station, then the number is 308-9564. The lines are available here, so go ahead and call in while we're at break, and we'll be glad to let your question be the first one up after the break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Today we've been talking about the home and resolving in our minds that we're going to get our homes in order. We need to resolve to do that today. You know, that might, you may have made a lot of resolutions as the New Year's was coming in, but our resolutions, again, should be motivated spiritually. You know, what does God want me to do? When we look at the state of the home today, it's not what it should be for a lot of different reasons. Maybe financial problems are going on. Again, maybe there are marital problems. Maybe I have some children that just won't listen. And I need to resolve in my heart, I need to resolve in my mind that today, I'm going to get my house in order. I'm going to build my house the way God wants me to build. Now, Ricky earlier was reading from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, where we learn so much about love. And not love as what, you know, man paints the picture, but love the way God paints the picture. And this love, one of the things that we talked about is we showed how that this love does not seek its own. And that's just so critical in a home environment. With the wife, with the husband, with the children, it's so critical that we're not looking out for self. We're not looking out for what's best for me, but what's best for others. And I often turn my attention to the husbands because the husbands are supposed to be the spiritual leaders in the home. They should be the ones that are looking out for the well-being or the welfare, the spiritual welfare of the family. I want to call your attention over to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But Ephesians chapter 5 right now, verse 25. Before I read that passage, I want to encourage you to go ahead and call if you have a question, 308-9564, and we'll be happy to interrupt our discussion here and answer your question by going to God's Word. That's 308-9564. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." That's all I want to read, just that one verse. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, also loved the church, and gave himself for her. See, that tells me, it should tell us all, the kind of love that we should be having for our wives. Husbands, you should be willing to sacrifice yourself. You should be willing to lay down yourself. You should be able to lay yourself bare to provide for your wife. I'm not talking just physical things. I'm talking spiritual things. Wives, you should have a husband. You should desire a husband that's going to help you get to heaven. Then your house will be built the way God desires. Again, if you'd like to join us in our discussion, 308-9564. Love demands that I look out for somebody else besides myself.
So that kind of love, that kind of command that we should have there, if we love that way, then it is easy for the wife to be what God expects of the wife. It is so much, we're so different as far as husbands and wives, and that's the way God designed us, that we are to be this way. Women, wives need this kind of love that we're talking about. And rather, that same passage talks about that a woman respect or give honor unto her husband. Well, men need that. And so God knows exactly what makes us tick and exactly what we need. And so returning back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see more about how to love in the way that God desires us to love. Now, my friend, if you say that, yeah, I love my wife, but yeah, I love my husband, don't listen to what is talked about in these love songs. That's more of what a ooey-gooey feeling type of love, and this is not that kind of love that God is talking about. This is the kind of love that is patient and kind and does not envy, does not parade itself or build itself or boast itself over someone else, is not puffed up or proud. It's not rude. It does not seek their own, is not provoked. Oh, wow. Uh-oh, boy, that stings, doesn't it? You know, this kind of love is not one that is touchy, to where that the very first little thing will set me off or set them off. That's not love. And by the way, remember from our caller just a minute ago, Denise, this love is something that is first-person application alone. I cannot, must not apply this to someone else. Oh, yeah, I may notice that they're not doing it, but I cannot change them. I can only change me, and that's as I follow God's instructions. And the truth is, God is the one that is changing us. And so I am not to be easily provoked, and I am not to have to, I'm not going to think my own way that I have to have it my way. I am not going to, matter of fact, as you go back and read this passage, just insert your name in place of the word love and turn this into a test. And so this way it would be, instead of love, it would be Ricky suffers long. Ricky is kind. Ricky does not envy. Ricky does not parade himself and is not puffed up. Ricky does not behave rudely. By the way, I have failed already. Ricky does not seek his own. Ricky is not easily provoked. Then the next thing it says in verse 5, it says, thinks no evil. How many times have you laughed at the bad things that may happen to someone else and said, well, boy, they had that coming. And that's really thinking evil of them. That is thinking bad about them. And so love just doesn't behave that way. You may have a question about this. You may have a comment that you'd like to make. We are live on the air, and you can call us right now at the station, 308-9564. There is one line available, 308-9564, and we'll let your question be brought into us, and we can answer it on the air, or we can go live, and you can ask your question or comment that can be put live on the air, 308-9564, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to your question or comment that you may have. And so we should think no evil if we're going to love this way. My friend, we've only covered two verses. Isn't this amazing? There is so much powerful information in God's Word that if we would just listen to it, we would be so much better. And so let's let the Bible speak on how to have the kind of home that God wants us to have. The number, you can call us right now, 308-9564, 308-WJNI. And we'll let the Bible speak to the question on your heart.
I know you might be saying to yourself, well, now, how do I apply it? How do I apply this to myself? How do I make sure that my love is as such that I think no evil? Because that's hard. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't mean to provoke our spouse, and sometimes it happens. You know, sometimes we don't mean to be provoked, but sometimes that happens. How do I think no evil? Sometimes I'm at the job, and maybe there's that person at the job that is provoking me, and my mind starts to wonder, how do I think no evil? Well, again, God has given us the answer. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, those of you who listen from time to time, you've heard this verse a number of times, and it's a timeless verse, and it's very applicable to many areas of our life. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so what I have to do, I have to change my mind and force my mind to think on good things, things that are true, things that are pure, things that are righteous. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is to continue to immerse myself in the Word of God, to hide God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. Only God's Word can control my mind. In Colossians, the third chapter, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind. That is the idea of resolve. Resolve your heart. Set your mind today. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. The idea is I have to set my mind. And so when that situation arises that may provoke me to anger, I'm going to set my mind to do the right thing. And I have to do that. I have to set my mind before this situation occurs. So the next time someone does something to me, I should already have my mind set to do the right thing, to speak kind words. You see, that's what's supposed to happen to the person who is in Christ. The person in Christ is supposed to change. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible talks about putting on a new man in verse 24, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 23. Verse 25 says, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. And you have to set your mind so that when you are angry, you don't sin, because love thinks no evil. Remember what we read earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 13? And verse 29, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Whoa, you heard that one? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. And so the things that you speak should build up, should encourage, should uplift, that it may impart grace, the Bible says, to the hearers. If you'd like to join us right now, you can. The lines are open. 308-9564. 308-9564. I believe we have a question.
Yes, we have Julie calling in this question. She asks, why is there such prejudice when all men came from one man and one woman? Well, Julie, that is a very good question, and we sure do appreciate you calling in and listening to us this afternoon. First of all, let's establish what the Bible has to say. Of course, that's a question that develops among people, and unfortunately, see, it's not of God, it is of man. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, it brings out very clearly that there is no partiality with God. That's also in the book of James and also in Galatians. Galatians 3 and verse 29, I believe it is, says, there is neither Jew nor Greek nor bond nor free nor male nor female, for if you are all one in Christ Jesus, if you're Abraham's seed, you're heirs according to the promise. And so that is God's perspective on it, and that is that there is only one man. There is only one blood, that we should be all united together. And so as far as prejudice and those things that occur in this world, that is not of God, that is of man. And what happens is human nature takes over and we start following after people. And that is something that even was evidenced in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it brings out, he begs for them to all speak the same thing, verse 10. That there be no divisions among them, that they be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And then he says, I have heard, or it's been declared to me, that some of you say, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? The answer is no, 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 that's not true. And they were following after man. And so just like they were wanting to follow after these good men, by the way, Paul and Apollos and Peter, all of those really good men, and if God wanted us to follow after man, those would be good men to follow. However, he rebukes them here for even rallying behind these good men. So what about the people that do that today? Wouldn't he be just as concerned about that? Well, I think you would agree with me, yes, because verse 10, he says, I plead with you, brethren, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly, completely joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So why is there such prejudice? Well, because man is following man. Let me see if I can illustrate it with this. There is a caterpillar that's called a processionary caterpillar. So, and if you were to take these caterpillars and line them up around the edge of a flower pot and put their favorite food in the pot, and they would that would be their favorite food just an inch away, it is so within this processionary caterpillar to follow the leader, and in this case, the worm that's in front of them, this caterpillar in front of them, they will literally walk around that pot over and over and over again till they finally, one by one, will literally die from starvation. Even though their favorite food is just an inch away, they are so ingrained in following the follower that they do not even turn to look. I hope you and everyone that's here in this broadcast is going to overcome this tendency to follow man, follow the follower, and get out of this box and get out of this rut that we have allowed ourselves to get in and follow our Creator, follow His Word, and we can get out of this monotonous, worldly, temporary thing that man has created and truly become the kind of glorious creation that God wants us to be. Thank you, Julie, for such a good question and reminding us that we cannot afford to follow man. We must follow God.
We have another question here from Barbara. Again, Julie, thanks for calling in. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll answer this question when we come back. But while we're at break, go ahead and call in right now. You can do that, 308-9564. I want to say again to our listeners, thank you so much for listening week after week. And we're hopeful, again, that the things that we're saying are helpful to you as you continue your journey as a Bible student. Again, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor His disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We're back live again, and we do want you to know that that offer is free. We're not kidding. Everything we send in the mail is free. The correspondence course, the DVDs that we've offered in the past, the Bible studies that we have in people's homes, because it is our honor to share with you the riches that God has blessed us with. It's not talking about physical riches. We're talking about spiritual riches that will never be taken away. Please take advantage of that. Again, that number is 553-5157. Call that operator right now, and we'll send that material to you free of charge. Right now, though, go ahead and call in your question. We'll try to get it in before the end of the broadcast. That number is 308-9564.
Barbara called in with this question, and before we went to break, we said we would go ahead and try to answer her question. Barbara says, is it right for a man to hide all his financial information from his wife? Well, Barbara, this is a challenging question for us because, as you probably know, the interworking of relationship and dealing with things like finances is really has to be worked out between the couple. But there is a passage of Scripture that kind of gives us a clue as to how we should handle such things. And that comes out in the book of Genesis, when God established marriage. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, there's something very clear about what was supposed to take place when marriage was established. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, therefore, a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, let me ask you a question. If, in fact, you have become one with your husband, and your husband has become one with you, what secrets do you have that he doesn't know about? And what secrets do you have that he doesn't know about? The whole idea of becoming one is you're no longer two separate entities. I notice in this question it says, is it okay for him to hide all his financial information? Well, yes, if you're two separate entities in this relationship. But the Bible paints a picture of marriage as being one. And if you're one, then there should be no secrets between you. Hopefully that's helpful to you. And now there's another question. It says, is it right to leave a marriage when there is no more romance or relationship in the union? Well, the answer to that question is real simple. No. No, it's not right to leave that relationship. Now, I answered that, but we'll go to the Scripture to answer that. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. Matthew 5 and verse 31. God only stipulates one reason for divorce, and we have to hold to that. And I know sometimes, friends, that it's difficult when you have a spouse that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and it's a challenging relationship, and I understand the house may be turned upside down, but still, we must adhere to God's will, God's word. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 31, the Bible says, let's pick up in verse 32, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Now here it talks about the woman. If a man divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, he causes her to commit adultery. It's adultery. So you can't do it. And then God reiterates this, or Jesus reiterates this in Matthew the 19th chapter and verse 9. He says it twice. And so, again, just because the love is gone doesn't mean that I can leave. So your next question might be, well, what do I do? Well, again, you make the appeal to be the kind of woman that God wants you to be, despite what your husband is doing. And by your conduct, you might win your husband. Again, for him to do what he needs to do, he has to make that decision, and there's nothing that you can do about that. He has to make a decision. He has to set his mind that he's going to be the kind of husband he needs to be. But until such a time, you need to be the kind of wife that you need to be.
And I would encourage you to take 1 Corinthians chapter 13, put your name in place of the word love, and give yourself this test every day, and thus put your name there where it says, what's her name?
Barbara.
Barbara, you would put your name there. Barbara suffers long and is kind. Barbara does not envy. Barbara is not puffed up or parading yourself. It does not. You do not behave rudely. You do not seek your own. You're not easily provoked. And I guarantee you, the more you fail this test and then get to work on fixing these things, by the time you master these things, your home very well may take care of itself. that flame may very well reappear. And so because we're approaching the end of the broadcast, let me go ahead and read verse 7 so that we do not leave it just hanging, verse 6 and 7. It goes on and says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And so if we're going to have this kind of love, Barbara, that includes you, includes me, Ricky, if we are going to love as God says love, then I need to be excited whenever they succeed, and I do not need to rejoice in their failures at all. I need to rejoice in those good things when truth wins out. Verse 7 says, love bears all things. That's talking about that I need to carry their load. I need to be selflessly focused on helping them by all means available. I need to help them to carry their load. Then also believes all things. I need to look at that person and believe, even though they may be behaving wretchedly, I need to change my thinking so much so that I believe in them. I believe, you know, the circumstances they're going through right now, if they were different, they wouldn't be behaving this way. So I believe in them. And I need to communicate this belief in them. I believe in them. I believe in them. I need to hope all things. I need to look forward to the day when things will be the way God wants. I need to have such a living hope that it just permeates my whole being, and everything I do is being demonstrated, showing that I have this kind of hope. And then the last thing in verse 7, it says, this kind of love endures all things. You see why this perfect description of love here is so very important? If we just learn how to love as God loves us, then we will have that kind of hope. We, that kind of love, that kind of home, that kind of success that God intends for us to have. And so that's what we need to do if we're going to have that kind of hope.
One of the things he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is that love rejoices in truth. Well, you and I, friends, have to get to the point in our lives or get to the point in our faith where we are able to rejoice in truth, to do what God says do in order to be saved. We must, you know, get to the point, again, where I rejoice in the truth. So I love to hear God's word, and I always want to know what he says that I must do. The Bible talks about hearing God's word. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once I hear God's word, either I'm going to believe it or not believe it. If I believe it, I need to repent. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, repent, or you shall all likewise perish. And once I repent, I need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we see that in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, we see where that confession is actually done. And we see that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And then finally, I must be baptized. And the Bible tells us I have to be baptized in order to be saved. There's passages like Mark 16, verse 16. There's Matthew 28, where Jesus tells his disciples to go out there in the Great Commission, 19 through 20. You have Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. You have Romans chapter 6, 1 through 7. All those passages tell me that we must be baptized. And hence, I must live my life dedicated to him. A lot of the calls that came in says, how can I fix my marriage? First, get your soul right.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. So we've got to have that kind of marriage, that kind of home, if we're going to be successful in 2009. Lucinda, we're not ignoring your question, but we're going to save this question till next week, and we hope and pray that you will tune in next week at 2 o'clock, and we will start the program and talk about that. And we sure do appreciate your question coming in today, but we're going to start with a broadcast on that next week. We are just so thrilled to be able to say that we have been able to let the Bible come out today, and we pray that we will be able to continue week after week. We appreciate your prayers, but we do not want your offerings. This program is put on by the church that meets in Goose Creek. And matter of fact, we're actually growing so much, we're moving to a new location probably even in the next week or so. And so that the Lord is blessing us a great deal, and this program no doubt will continue, Lord willing. We want to end the broadcast today, first of all, by saying thank you for listening. We pray that you have enrolled in the correspondence course. If you have not, be sure to do so right at the end of this broadcast. There will be an operator standing by. I want to leave you with these thoughts. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And so please do not give us any credit whatsoever. We've just hoped and prayed before every broadcast that God's word is all that people are hearing. They're hearing God. And if that is the case, who should get the glory? Well, the next verse says, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. May God receive the glory.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm reading, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day. I am reading, only reading.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you. So each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.